When he starts beating up on me and say, you're never going to get victory in that, I can tell him, get out of my face. I can command him with the authority of the name of Jesus Christ to leave me the heck alone. He has no power. He has no authority in my life. He has no place in my life. So get out and shut your filthy lying mouth in Jesus' name, because he no longer has authority over me, though he once did. He's just going to have to get over it. He's just going to have to yearn, because I ain't under him no more. Praise God. Romans 6:17 says, but God be thanked that though you were slaves of sin, that'll catch up. God be thanked that though you were slaves of sin, say I was a slave of sin, yet you have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine to which you were delivered, and having been set, what?
Free.
Having been set free from sin, you became slaves of righteousness. Just as a slave must obey his master, so when the Spirit is at work in you, you simply must obey. The more it fills you, the more you do what he wants you to do. It's the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. It's beautiful. It's glorious. It's incredible. It just makes me want to shout in worship, almost enough to dance. Praise God. Yeah. You don't want to. I ain't going there today. Yeah. Okay. Well, I got ahead of myself. Okay. Praise God. God be thanked that though you were slaves of sin, yet you obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine, and having been set free from sin. Having been what? Praise God. Past tense, right? Right? I have been set free. I'm not trying to be free from sin. I am free from sin. I just need to walk in freedom. I need to walk in life. I need to walk in righteousness through the power of the Holy Spirit. I'm not under that old heavy yoke anymore. That thing was a pain in the neck. I'm under a new yoke. It's light. It's easy. It carries me by His power. Praise God. And so as I walk in that truth by faith, my mind is transformed. Not only does it access the power of God, because that's how we do that, by faith, but also it helps me to make good decisions instead of bad ones. I can choose better. But not only is it an act of faith, it's also an act of worship. Worship. Everybody say worship. Worship. You were born to worship. It's in your DNA. That's why you get excited when the church starts praising God. Something inside of you just rises up and said, man, let me be a part of that. Let me sing. Let me dance. Let me get down there and put my arms in the air. As I worship, I become filled with the Spirit of God. Now, how do I do that? One of the ways to stay filled with the Spirit of God is to worship God. Now, sometimes it's a little hard to enter into worship. You ever had a little hard time getting in worship? Getting to that place where he's just carrying you along and he's just pouring out of you? Well, let me give you some help in getting there. One of the things you can do is you're coming in. Like, we were at a conference this week and the worship was incredible. And as we were going through, I'm trying to enter in, and the Holy Spirit just whispers in my ear and says, you know, it's not about you, John. It's really about Him. So don't worry if you're not feeling it yet. Just give Him the glory, because really, He deserves it. That's what it's about. It's ascribing to Him the glory that belongs to Him. So declare to the heavens the greatness of God. Declare to the people around you the greatness of God. Declare to the principalities and powers and the angels and to anybody who will listen the greatness of God. God hears it. He sees that in this place here in Queenstown, at this longitude and latitude, under this roof, in this building, John D'Souza is declaring the greatness of God, and he receives that because it honors him. He is seeking for a people to populate the earth and declare his praises. That's what we're here to do, to declare the glory of God in word and deed and in action and thought and relationship. So if I'm not feeling it yet, it doesn't matter, because my purpose and my heart's desire is to give Him the praise that belongs to Him. That's a help. That starts. That'll change the atmosphere around you. Number two, as I meditate on His love for me, It gives me confidence to draw near. You know, as you go into worship, I love talking about worship, man. I could just be like a worship teacher. As you go into worship, rather than trying to work up a feeling, rather than trying to sing really loud or just like dance really hard or clap really fast to get it going, let me suggest this. The first time this really clocked me, I just laughed for joy. I was laughing out loud with my head thrown back and tears pouring down my face because it was just indescribable. Think about how, instead of thinking of trying to connect with this God or get his attention or trying to work up something, just meditate on how much your daddy loves you. And just be innocent before him like a little child. Don't try to be some great worshiper. Yeah, I'm going to really get out there. I'm going to worship. Just take a moment to focus on your daddy. And just know that before you even walked in the room, his affection was so deep towards you. He wants you to look up because he wants you to see his face. He wants you to look up because he wants to look in your eyes and affirm you and tell you how passionately he is in love with you. We don't have to try to get ourselves in a state where God will say, oh, I think they're worshiping hard enough. I think I'll bless them. Let me tell you, man, he is so crazy about you when you walk. You had him at hello. When you walked in the room, he already come here, Missy. I want to do this, but I don't want to. Have a seat. Close your eyes. As you sit there and worship, raise your hands. Yeah. Raise your hands. Yeah. This isn't God. And that's you. Let me show you where God is. Put your hands down. Stand up. Now sit down to worship. This is where God is. This is where he is. He's not checking his list to see if there's something you forgot to confess. Trust me, when you look in his face, it'll come out. and he'll wipe the tears away and he'll say, I know, it's okay. We're going to fix that. Already got it covered. Trust me. Just think about this. This is him. And this is you. And he really loves you. With such an innocent, beautiful love. You have to work it up. He already loves you. He just wants you to enter into it. Thanks. You know, I find as I do that, as I draw near to him, if instead of trying to work up this state of worship, but just look in my Father's eyes and melt before him, he'll take me the rest of the way. You know, that innocence, man, that day I was up there, and in the middle of that worship service, I got this impression on my mind of what it means to be a little like a little child. And I don't have to be some big old macho whatever. And I don't have to be some little old wimpy, screechy, begging orphan either. I can just be a beloved child of my daddy and just bask in his love for me. Man, that will ignite your heart, brother. Let me tell you, that will set you ablaze. I can't sin when I'm caught up in the glory of God. It's not even in the ballpark. When I'm walking in that relationship of intimacy with him, when my heart is melting like rivers, like an ice cube on the sidewalk in August, under the heat and the beauty and the glory of His love for me. Man, I can't sin in that state. Just makes me want to do stuff to worship Him all the more. I just want to just spread that stuff. I just want to splatter it all over the place and let others just kind of, you know, just let others just get some of that, you know? Hallelujah. Be blessed, my dear, dear friend. And pray the love of Christ would just flood your heart until you know beyond words how deep His affection is for you and how beautiful He sees you as He sees you in His kingdom with the righteousness of Christ around you and the glory of Christ all over you. He sees us not simply as we are through this world. He sees us as seated in the heavenly places in Christ. He sees us outside of the realms of time. He sees us before He even laid the first, before He even spoke this world into existence, before the first star ever appeared in the sky. He says, the Bible says, He knew us and called us before the foundation of the world. You know what that means? See, we think of our, you know how we think of ourselves? We think we're trying to make our way in the universe. Let me tell you something. The universe is nothing but stage props. You were God's initial thought. Before He even made the universe, He thought of you and then simply created the cosmos as a backdrop for His love relationship with you. That's how much He loves you. That even the galaxies and stars themselves, as big as they are, Liam Marr, are simply props. He's going to fold them up one day. But if you love Jesus, you'll endure forever. It's just a garment. He hangs it up for a prop. He's taking it down and folding it up one day. He's going to put up a new prop. And boy, are you going to feel His love then. Last thing. This is so taking longer than I thought. But it's the last page, I promise. Let me take this one step further. One big part of overcoming temptation. Aren't you glad you came today? One big part of overcoming temptation is eliminating it. Let me say that again. One big part of overcoming temptation is eliminating it. If the ice cream's not in the freezer, it won't call your name. Okay? But that is an act of worship too. That's an act of worship. All right? Romans 6:12. This is the last scripture we're going to look at in Romans. But I love this stuff. It's so good, man. You just got to get a hold of this, man. Because when you leave here, you know, this is what's going to do the stuff for you when you get out there. Romans 6:12. Last one. We're going to look at this. Check this out. Guess what God says to us? He says, my beloved, therefore, don't let sin reign in your mortal body that you should obey it in its lusts. Wow. Thank you, Lord. If this starts to spread, just let Him have His way. Wow. And do not present your members as instruments of unrighteousness to sin. Wow, the Spirit is strong up here. Dave, you got to get back up here, brother. You're going to like this. And do not present your members as instruments of unrighteousness to sin. But present yourselves to God as being alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness. For sin shall not, isn't that cool? Isn't that beautiful? Sin shall not have dominion over you, for you're not under the law, but you're under grace. Those words present are very key words. That word present there means literally to stand next to or to offer up. It's a word used to describe worship. In Romans 12:1, where it says, therefore, my beloved brethren, present your bodies as a living sacrifice to God, holy and acceptable. That word, that act of presenting your body as a sacrifice, like being strapped to the altar, you know, and as a sacrifice, that word present there is the same word. It's an act of worship. Therefore, he says, therefore, do not present your members as instruments of unrighteousness to sin. Present them to God. In other words, cleanse the temple of the idols. Get the idols out of the temple. Don't stand there. It means to stand next to and offer up. Don't stand there next to those idols. Get them out of the house. If it's ice cream, hasta la vista, baby, get it out of the freezer. If it's dope, get it out of the house. Flush it down the Louvre. If it's alcohol, bust the bottles and throw them in the trash. Pour it down the drain. If it's pornography, get the computer out of the house or get some filter on there or just forget about, you know, deal with it, get it out of there, cleanse the place of idols. If you stand there next to it and you're trying to war against it in your flesh and trying to white knuckle it and resist that temptation, you will lose because that's the law of sin and death. But the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus, as I walk in the Spirit in an attitude of worship, I get rid of the idols that crowd His throne. I get them out of my life so they get out of my way. That way I don't have to fight with them. So one of the things that reformers in the Old Testament did when they wanted to turn the nation back to God was they went and they busted up all the idols. They got rid of them. And they rededicated the sanctuary to the worship of the one true and living God. So if there is an idol in your life that is giving you problems, causing you temptation, that is a stumbling block for you, get rid of it. Jesus said, if it's your hand, cut it off. And yes, I'm speaking figuratively. We're not that kind of church. Aren't you glad? Man. A machete, yeah. So if I don't want to be overcome by temptation, I need to stop worshiping it. I need to stop giving it place in my life where God ought to be there instead. I need to repent of that idolatry. I need to cleanse the temple of idols. Because as long as I sit in the face of temptation, I'll say, this is my last thing to say. Promise. As long as you sit in the face of temptation, struggling with sin, you will continue to struggle with sin. But when you cleanse the temple and present, hallelujah, yourselves to God as being alive from the dead, you will find in that place unbelievable freedom. Amen. Amen. Praise God.